Welcome back to the Great Debates Podcast.
Medina, buddy.
Medina's back.
Welcome back to me.
Dad.
I mean,
I'm now a dad.
Amazing. We just met. I mean, do we need to jump into it?
Can we unfortunately, no, we do have to
we
jump
have
into
to jump
Are you
into
kidding
it.
Me?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
sorry.
What we do around here. I've got a micro debate with 4 minutes on the clock. Steve Healy's going to take the pro. Okay. The topic is, you would be fine if you ate nothing but turkey, lettuce, and carrots.
Wait,
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro.
What?
You would be fine if you ate nothing but turkey, lettuce, and carrots. You're getting protein. You're getting vitamins. You're getting fiber. Everything that the body needs to survive. I think, in fact, this is kind of a perfect diet. If you ate that every day in a mush or chopped up into some kind of salad, you would feel terrific. Your body would move naturally. You could take a multivitamin. I don't think that's ruled out. But eating, that's all you need to eat.
Okay. I don't know why you're throwing... I mean, obviously, like, having a multivitamin is eating a multivitamin. You can't just immediately break the rules and say you can also have a multivitamin.
I actually want a ruling on that from the moderator.
I'm going to go with no multivitamin.
Yeah,
okay,
obviously,
fine.
That's
fine. No multivitamin. You're fine. You'll have enough from the carrots, the lettuce, and the turkey.
You're trying to say, like, hey, you can survive on this stuff, which you probably can't.
No, I'm trying
for
to say you would
time.
Be fine.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be fine. I think you'd go crazy. If the only thing you can eat is turkey, lettuce, and carrots for the rest of your life.
On the contrary, you'd actually be saner because a huge category of stress and indecision
it's fine.
Would be
people,
taken out of your
ask
life.
Ask people if they enjoy eating Soylent for more than a week. They don't. They hate. They the best that people do is like they use that as a meal substitute maybe once a day. But like the idea, people who actually
Soylent's
try,
a drink, right? It comes in drink form.
It's a meal substitute.
I've proposed three different foods.
Yeah, but
that
no
can
one,
be served hot, cold.
No one's objection to Soylent is, I wish there were more textures.
If you're bored of the crispy carrots,
the
boil the carrots up, mush the carrots
even
into a puree.
Even people who like the taste of Soylent.
Carrot, puree, lettuce,
they just
shake.
Desire the taste of something else after a while. Healy.
Turkey, lettuce, wrap. A lot of options.
That's like, there's like five options for each of them.
Okay,
it's
five.
Still the same taste.
Five
whether you're
for
like,
each one, five times five.
Yeah, but there's not that much difference between a turkey,
right there,
lettuce
we have, what,
wrap,
125
and like
options?
A lettuce, carrot
You've got 125
wrap.
Meals.
They're not meals. You're talking about lettuce and carrots. As one of those meals is lettuce and carrots, and one of those meals is just carrots. That's not a meal. That sucks. That's not fine. You're going to go crazy. You're also, by the way, if you're eating, think about eating those three foods. You've got two foods that do a lot of like sticking in your teeth between carrots and turkey. You're
oh, that's
stink
not an issue.
Like
no.
Carrots and turkey. People
no.
are going to be like. Also, by the way, you can't go out to eat with people. You can't
adjust your level.
Really
first of all, every
social life.
Any restaurant
that's
can,
not fine at
can
all.
Hook you up with turkey, carrots,
basically
and
basically, what's going to happen is, you know, the like basic
you
way
haven't
that
been
we
in
monitor.
A kitchen in the country that
here's
hasn't...
a fair way to ask yourself: is this are you fine or not? Is to ask yourself like the basic questions about like psychological distress. And one of them is it impacting your work? Is it impacting, or some of them are,
yeah,
is it impacting
I'm
your
working
work?
Better
your social
because
life?
I have
is it impacting
fewer
your sleep
choices
patterns?
To make.
Absolutely wrong. You're not going to be able to
my mental RAM
with people.
Space is doubled.
But
I mean, of course you can eat with people. Where can't you go where you can't have these things?
At most restaurants, if you, I understand that like restaurants are
hey,
accommodating
do you have
these
a turkey
days,
burger without a bun? I'll have that. Thank you.
Sorry,
done.
Sorry.
Any
you,
restaurant
do you
in the country.
Just the turkey patty?
Yep.
Okay, well... Okay, well, just so you know,
some
we,
lettuce on there, maybe carrots on the side.
We prepare our
carrots.
Turkey patty. It's like not just turkey. But your friend told me that you only eat turkey, carrots, and
lettuce.
When
did my friend speak with you?
Well, I just don't want, he mentioned it.
Did he call in advance?
No, he mentioned at the beginning of lunch. But I
don't
want to destroy
your... You're being a little presumptuous for a waiter.
What I'm trying to tell you, sir, and I'm only here to help you, is that the turkey patty has more in it than simply turkey. It's not just ground turkey, and they
I'll
come
survive.
Pre-prepared. Well, I'm sorry, actually, but that you can't survive just eat it. You can't. You're not allowed to accept the small amount of oats that come prepackaged in the turkey burger.
No, you well, are. That's allowed.
Can we get a ruling from the moderator?
I don't know if that's allowed.
Of course
okay,
that's
fine.
Not allowed.
Just give me a couple slices of turkey then.
We don't have slices of turkey. Like we
do you
only have
carrots?
Have,
I'll have some carrots.
We do have carrots,
and lettuce.
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Great. You're going to be a real fun dude at lunch.
the topic wasn't you will be fun. It's you will be fine.
Oof. We're back.
Just like that, we're back.
Just like that.
What do you think of the debate?
Well, okay, the first thing I want to say before we get into any rulings or really the rest of the program is that when you're a new parent, you get very little sleep.
Okay.
So I'm a little loopy. I'm a little out of it. It's very easy to hang out with a newborn, but when you're kind of like navigating social situations with adults and understanding a complicated debate about something like nutrition, it's a little harder.
Look, we have to play to new dads as well as...
We got to remember...
That's exactly right.
That's a little common mistake people think is that we're trying to win over the audience. We could care less about the audience. We're trying to win over moderator Medina.
Wait, there's an audience? This is broadcast?
And that's a funny little ha-ha you're having there. But the truth is we do know that there is an audience, but we only care... I only care about Medina's vote.
I like the audience. I like... I
don't
if
care.
If the audience is always giving me positive feedback, even if Medina rules against me a couple times, I don't mind.
Not in it for the feedback. Not in it for the listeners.
Just
I'm in it
to
win.
The
that's
ruling.
Right.
You know, here's the thing. I tend to go with an underdog in a situation like this where, yeah, you'd probably be... I mean, it makes sense to you upon hearing this. You'd probably be fine. But I do think that... Dave, you illustrated some examples of situations where it would be difficult to be on such a restricted diet, but I don't think you quite got there on how that you would be
fine. Barbecue,
so
dinner party.
I think Steve wins.
Restaurant's the easiest one. Out.
I got too caught up in waiter role play.
Yeah.
That was my downfall.
With 4 minutes on the clock, it's like very important that every bit you're in and you're out.
Role play is a classic trap.
And then your opponent will really help lead you down the trail of role play.
Remember the 96 presidential debates when Clinton tricked Bob Dole into that really long role play?
Of course.
Yeah.
That's how he won.
Classic.
I mean...
Guys, I'm a dad.
I saw some evidence of that. A little baby.
We met Hazel Medina earlier.
Yeah.
Are you okay with us sharing like her full name and everything?
Her name is Hazel.
Hazel Gray Medina.
Hazel Gray Medina.
Beautiful name, beautiful girl. She's as sweet as can be. She was making some little noises.
She's very chill for the most part.
It is like so cool.
Mostly she just sleeps a lot.
Yeah.
Every once in a while an amazing thing will happen and she'll open her eyes and like stare right at you, which is kind of great and fun. That goes on for 20 minutes or so and then she's back to sleep.
Cool.
So it hasn't been that eventful. It's a lot. It's weirdly easier and more natural than I expected it to be having a kid around.
Great.
So far, so good. Mommy Sally is doing fantastically and also really enjoying it. We're having a lot of fun. We mostly just hang around the house. We've watched a lot of movies.
Yes.
I hang out with Hazel in the middle of the night and let mom sleep for a bit. Then we trade off. When I'm in the last night, I watched Hunt for Red October, and
a dad classic.
Great. And then I got into Dances with Wolves.
A dad double feature.
I'm trying to rock the dad-itude.
You've
around
fallen
here.
Into dad double hard.
Yeah,
man, that is so good. Do you? What kind of a dad do you think you are? Based on the early experience,
I think I'm a pretty like live and let live dad.
Yeah.
Chill dad.
Yeah, I bet you're a chill dad.
I like hanging with Hazel a lot. I like carrying her around the house. I like doing things while I've kind of got her in because I can hold her in pretty much one arm. No problem.
That's great.
And so I like kind of moving about my business with her. But I also like just kind of letting her hang and do her own thing. And if she starts to fuss, kind of giving her a little bit of time to work that out before I dive in and do my thing.
You know, it's funny because the irony of you being the moderator and like judge and jury is that you're probably one of the least judgy people. Live and Let Live is very Medina.
But you are fairly moderate.
Well, sure. Interesting how words are you like me? Do you love thinking about the English language and how some words can mean different things?
It's one of my passions. I love the English language.
Yeah, words, meanings. It's a lot of fun.
Anyway, what are we doing?
Are we going to
have more debates?
We're in host chat. I don't know if you guys have anything else.
I think we've had some good host chat.
Yeah, let me tell you, here's my recommendations. If you're in the headspace to do it, have a kid. It's really fun.
Cool.
If you're not, don't get into it. I wait. I'm 40 years old. I took my time. I found the right person. Sure. That was important. We got our circumstances kind of straightened out, and here we are, and we're having the time of our lives.
You know.
So, two thumbs up on
good
on
pro tip. Good life hack. Yeah. Have a life hack.
Have a baby when you're exactly ready with the right person.
Well, turns out it really works.
There's a theme to the tops this week.
We're not doing really some theme, Healy Brighams.
This is the Healy Brighams.
So you have an advantage here. What that means is
Healy. Do I?
Well, I haven't heard these tops.
Yeah, but sometimes that gives you a disadvantage because you get locked into your ways. I don't know.
Healy wrote the tops. I brought them over to me. I have them in my hand. That last top you heard, that was the when you guys heard it, that was when Dave heard it. And so, you know, I think he did pretty well for having just checked it out. So now it's on me to choose another top for us to do. I thought maybe we could top about a few tops.
Sure.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then we could choose one and we can move forward. I think it's really nice when the listeners get to see us pull back the curtain a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
I'm worried that people don't appreciate that this is kind of how we work.
Exactly.
And just again, I don't care whether people appreciate this or not. I'm just here to win the debates. Mm.
So here's one that I'll throw out at you. And that top is The Devil Was Handsomer Than Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
What made you think, why did that pop?
I mean, I'm
your...
reluctant to tip my hand too much on,
before the debate.
Yeah. But the phrase handsome devil was in my mind.
Okay.
That's great.
And then I've spoken about on a previous episode how I've been doing some research into like the origin of the New Testament.
Yeah.
And what Jesus, okay, people were into this guy from the get-go in a big way.
Uh-huh.
He must have been kind of charismatic and cool, but they didn't bother describing him physically in any of the gospel. They don't know anything about what he looked like or anything. And when people draw him, they usually make him look pretty good.
Right.
But handsome devil, I mean.
Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting.
Slick features. Okay, next top to top about is snowboarding is as popular as it's ever going to be.
Wow, that's interesting. Is that like worldwide or just in the U.S.?
Near my house, there's like a snowboarding store, Burton or whatever. Uh-huh. And I walked by it and I was just like, this is done. Everybody who is going to take this up has taken it up. And, you know, they always get excited around the Winter Olympics time. There's hype about snowboarding, whatever. Just kind of new persons into snowboarding. Look at this.
Well, they are always talking about how these kind of new people are in the snowboarding. And it does get very exciting. You're definitely right.
I like that. So also, here's another one. Jim Carrey doesn't get enough credit.
Well, I mean, that's a pro all day.
You want to pro that?
Of course.
Okay. It's kind of interesting.
Oh. Do you want to just throw down right now?
Sure. Sounds hot.
This is how it happens, guys. We read these out to each other. One of them hits, and then we're off to a debate. So Dave King taking the pro... Is that right?
Yeah, I'd love to.
On the topic, up for debate, Jim Carrey doesn't get enough credit.
Jim Carrey simply doesn't get enough credit. The man is somehow downgraded in the public sort of like ranking of all-time great actors because of a few factors. One of them is his silliness. This is a man who's done movies that can be considered a bit broad or slapstick, movies like The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, which have a large degree of both physical comedy and what we might call silly or absurdist or non sequitur humor. And for some reason, that has always been like never taken seriously. People can't like see that as it's a knock on someone. And for some reason, I mean, I'm not far from the first person to make this point, but serious acting in general, dramatic acting, is considered more important and of a greater caliber than comic acting. But the fact is, how many people are actually good comic, funny actors? And the answer is not that many. Jim Carrey has done excellent serious movies. He's done excellent comic movies. He's done excellent movies that have stood the test of time, like The Truman Show, which can be both funny but also have an incredibly inspiring message. His career is incredibly long-lasting. He's done characters such as Ace Ventura or The Cable Guy and The Mask, if you want to call that a character. He's done He's played the sort of everyman, like he did in Eternal Sunshine and The Truman Show. He's run the gamut. He's also an incredible artist and a philosopher. He, across the board, does not get enough credit. He's also played real-life people like Andy Kaufman. How many actors can you say have done all of those things at such a high bar? Jim Carrey doesn't get enough credit.
Okay, this debate is premised on, I love getting at debates about like overrated, underrated, because what Dave's whole argument is premised on sort of assumptions about how much credit Jim Carrey gets based on nothing. But what do you mean he's not acclaimed for ever? He's been a serious actor in a number of films that were very popular. He's almost universally regarded as one of the funniest people alive. I just looked at his awards page on the IMDb. I had to scroll down for probably a solid minute.
What's the most prestigious award he's ever gotten?
He won a Golden Globe.
Okay. One Golden Globe? That's garbage. Or not garbage. I mean, that's a crime.
In your dream world, what should he have won?
In the world where awards matter. I'm sorry?
In your dream world, what is enough credit for Jim Carrey? That every single person in the world, basically, who is goes to movies, has heard of him, is aware of him as both a comic actor and a serious actor. He's gotten any kind of role he wants. He can basically be in any kind of movie he wants. He's been around for about 20 years. This is the definition of a guy getting enough credit.
You're talking about what kind... I mean, I don't think that what kind of roles he has access to or what kind of projects he can choose, I don't think that that factors into how much credit a person receives. That's more of like how selective can they be about their projects.
How are you assessing how much credit this guy is getting? Because we all think he's funny. He's won awards. He's been in huge hit movies. He's gotten opportunities.
But I would say that like
he's critically well regarded. Those performances were acclaimed.
He's not critically well regarded. People didn't like critics didn't like Ace Ventura. They didn't even love like when Eternal Sunshine.
But critics
came out,
never liked comedy that much, but critics did love Andy Kaufman Man on the Moon movie. They loved.
I'm not so sure that they did. I think actually if you look, like, I mean, we could look it up, but I think
not
so
sure. The name of this debate from your perspective is not so sure. You are not so sure about this. You're not so sure about that. You're assuming how much credit Jim Carrey gets. The fact is the man on the street understands and appreciates Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey is a wealthy, extremely wealthy, highly acclaimed movie star, comedian, drama.
Our audience gets enough credit. Medina is more savvy to know that a man's wealth has anything to do with how much credit he's received. I mean, that.
Well, one way that you get credit is monetary credits that are given to you in the form of dollars. That is a form of credit.
Okay. I don't think that the type of credit, I don't think that when people say he doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, I mean, if you want to say that he doesn't
have
enough
money,
sure.
I think that when people say someone doesn't get enough credit, they're almost always being pompous and ridiculous.
If that's actually how you want to measure how much credit a person has received, I would say relative to other actors, even relative to other comic actors, Jim Carrey is underpaid. Like, if that's how you want to be one of the measures, sure. If you want to measure it by awards and money and those things, I think Jim Carrey deserves more awards than he's received, and I think he deserves more money than he's received. But most of all, what I believe that we're talking about at the spirit of this debate is public adulation. And
the
I actually
public
think
loves
that,
Jim Carrey. He's been famous for two generations.
But first of all, Jim Carrey's not as famous as he used to be, and he is not... a lot of people who I would say are age 30 and under, if you ask them to name who are the greatest comic actors of our time,
okay, so you're,
who are the greatest actors
of our
time?
So your argument is
going
to come down to like the old man thing of like some old person
young
people haven't
heard
of doesn't get enough
credit.
Simply
another data point in my argument, which so far I haven't heard any like different things from you other than he won a Golden Globe, which to me actually proves that he's undercredited.
No, my evidence is that this guy has received a ton of credit in the form of awards, financial recognition and popular acclaim, and so he gets enough credit. He's a great actor. I agree with you.
One of the reasons he doesn't have get enough credit, in my opinion, is that his movies and more specifically the roles that he has played in movies have aged better over time and become more culturally relevant and felt somehow larger than the movie themselves over time.
Oh, so he is getting enough credit.
No, I'm saying that like only when properly examined does he reserve the proper amount of credit. And a thing that a lot of people don't do is like go back and re-examine.
So when properly examined, he does get enough credit.
Yes, I believe that like if the public went back and watched every movie from 1990 to 2016 over again, Jim Carrey would receive more credit. And for that reason, I believe Jim Carrey doesn't get enough credit. No, I said he would receive enough credit if people. I'm saying if we were to re-examine the entire cinematic oeuvre of the last 2.5 decades, we would then realize, wow, the roles that he played. Again, I point to the role of Truman actually feels larger than the movie of The Truman Show. Like, we all picture Jim Carrey, you know, on the boat at the end of the movie.
You're making arguments for him getting enough credit. No, pictured, says Dave. Listen to the phrases he's using. The phrases are acknowledging the enormous significance and credit Jim Carrey gets for his impressive body
but
of work.
But when people talk about
the amount of credit he gets is equal to what he deserves. He's popular, amazing, and he gets a lot of credit.
He does, of course, I wouldn't argue that he doesn't get enough credit, but he gets, what I'm saying is that, like, and Healy, you're right, I did stammer, and it is embarrassing, and if you want to be so, you know, low as to, like, make fun of me for that, that's fine.
Everyday tactic, but what it reveals in you here is a total collapse of logic.
Okay, I'm going to make my closing statement. What I would say here is that when people talk about the great movies of, I don't know what year The Truman Show came out, but when they talk about the, like, 5 years that come before and after The Truman Show, they rarely talk about The Truman Show. But they should, if only because Jim Carrey's performance is that amazing. Similarly, when people talk about the great comedies of the 90s, they often talk about movies like Rushmore and movies that have, like, you know, have a certain prestige factor.
Movies like
Healy, this is my closing statement.
What elite audiences are you hanging out with?
Healy, everyone you know thinks Rushmore is one of the best comedies of the 90s. Don't tell me that I'm hanging out with elite audiences. come on.
The fellas at the tailgate weren't talking about Rushmore, Dave.
You've never been to a fucking tailgate in your life. You just came from the fucking Paris Review party. Don't tell me that you were at a tailgate. The old blokes down at the football game. Get the fuck out of here calling me an elitist. They also don't talk about movies like Ace Ventura and The Mask, and even Ace Ventura 2, which is very funny, and Dumb and Dumber, which is like, again, how many movies that take that big, I would argue, the best of the what's-their-name movies, the Farrelly Brothers movies. Anyway, I've said all this before. Yes, he gets a ton of credit. I'm not saying he doesn't get credit. What I'm saying is that if we re-examine all of his movies and everyone else's movies, we'd realize that he deserves even more credit than he gets.
Dave's argument is premised on elitist assumptions and sort of critical folly, always thinking people aren't getting enough credit. Only they can apportion how much credit everyone gets. The fact is Jim Carrey has been incredibly famous for about 30 years because he's amazing and funny. Everybody loves him. He's a household name anywhere movies and television are enjoyed. Comedy, drama, the guy gets enough credit. Jim Carrey gets enough credit.
Okay. Wow. Dave's rolling his eyes.
Dave's just pissed.
Healy
is He's like, never been more pissed. He hates taking the pro.
Yes.
It's very, very hard for him.
Uh-huh. He can't tear down walls when he takes the
pro. No. And when people do use Dave tactics on him, nothing makes him angrier.
Obviously, I'm a little mad at myself because I didn't mention some of the other films and how much, you know, it's a bummer.
What do you, in freedom time, what do you wish you'd mentioned?
Oh, I'd like to hear Medina's judgment first.
I think that, sort of like the last debate, I just wanted you to get a little bit higher.
And I did too.
You know what I'm saying? Too. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
One thing that I keep thinking about is that there's really not a great system out there in our various awards and accolades for actors, especially to reward great comedic, roles. It's only the Golden Globes, right, amongst the major award shows that has a comedic category.
That's
and
right.
we don't consider comic performances for best actor stuff. I mean, Bill Murray got close with the Sofia Coppola movie.
Yeah.
But
even that,
that's
not
really
his
a
power.
Comedic role.
Yeah. It was like, isn't it cool to see this comedian be serious?
Right.
No.
Right.
So.
Well, Marissa Tomei, of course.
Okay.
Won an Oscar for My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
maybe we should have the Carries and it's just
the
awards.
And actually, that's what I kept thinking is that there's a lot, you can win Best Supporting Actor or Actress in a comedic role. But you can't really win Best Actor in a comedic role unless you're Tom Hanks.
Do you think that there's a chance that over time the comedian, like I'm thinking back to the early days of movies and the big, I don't know if they were, basically what I'm getting is like everyone knows the names Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton, mm-hmm. but but to name other, the biggest stars of that era and the Marx Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and even like go, and then it's not really until like the 50s or 60s that the biggest stars became dramatic actors. Am I wrong about that?
It seems like it was next to impossible to distinguish yourself as a silent movie dramatic actor.
Oh, but certainly there were, right?
Yeah,
I mean, at the time, weren't the biggest draws dramatic actors? I don't know.
I don't know. Must have been. I can't name them, like Lillian Gish or something, sure. Right? But yeah, the people wanted to go and laugh at Fatty Arbuckle or whatever, Buster mm-hmm. Keaton.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in 100 years, we'll look back on, you know, Jim Carrey and
feel like he deserved more credit.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. Or maybe we'll look back and be like, why were they giving that guy so much credit?
What a weirdo. Guys, what a great episode. Oh, I had a lot of fun being back.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Oh, my first damn.
Time flies.
Episode as a dad.
Whew.
I haven't even got back to work yet, but I'm back to the Great Debates. That's how important it is to me.
Very cool.
Dedicated, bro.
Hey, all. I hope you're having a great holiday season, and we'll see you next week on the Great Debates. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.